Lots of dry things suck. There's dry mouth, dry spells, dry eyes, dry humping, just to name a few. Now we can add dry promotions to that list. What are dry promotions and how do they harm marginalized communities?
You're listening to Queer Money episode 496. And today we're sharing how your boss could be getting you to do more work for less money and what you should do about it.
Now on with the show.
You're listening to the Queer Money Podcast, personal finance with a rainbow twist.
Queer Money is dedicated to financial independence, financial well-being, investing knowledge, and the intersection of all things money as an LGBTQ person. Queer Money is made possible by Capital One. Capital One believes that financial well-being includes your mental, physical, and financial health. Check out CapitalOne.com today. So I feel like since the start of the pandemic, like there's this whole new lexicon out there that I didn't know if it existed before. I was not aware of it, but there's quiet quitting, there's candidate ghosting, minimal work Mondays, quiet firing, or I've also heard of soft firing, which is, I guess, the synonym. There's Freedom Fridays, I guess. Is that like the day you can eat French fries that aren't French, but Freedom Fries? <I know. laughs> So now there's dry promotions, which is a new concept that we just heard about last week. We were watching a Wall Street Journal article on YouTube, and I didn't know this existed. It sounds like this isn't brand new.
No,
it's actually becoming a little bit more prevalent right now.
Yeah, this is actually a big thing that was happening during Y2K and the financial crisis in 2008, 2009. I remember these specifically happening during those times because the work environments during those times, right? And I think that this, we've talked about this whole scare.
Are you telling me that there were financial struggles and employment struggles before 2008? I'm under the presumption that nothing was horrible before 2008.
Right. I think that this whole idea of trying to squeeze more out of employees has been something that's been in existence since there was the first employer, right? Yeah. The feudal system with farmers working the land, that was when landowners were trying to squeeze more out of the farmers, and that has continued into corporate life. And we're seeing more and more of this, especially during times of uncertainty. And the constant talk about the fact that there is a recession coming, there's a recession coming. It's the boy who cried wolf, right? We've been hearing about this recession for the last two and a half years. And yeah, we had a short time period during the pandemic, of course, because of everything being shut down. But I think it has given many employers the opportunity to say, I'm going to bring this back. I'm wondering if it's all the people who had it happen to them in 2000 and 2008, and they're now in positions in control, and they're like, well, I can use this against my employees because it was used against me.
Well, I'm guessing too, it's like now that everybody's sort of calling BS on the forced inflation, where corporations were just driving up prices,
even though they
didn't necessarily have to. Yeah, or greedflation is what it's also called. Now that people are calling BS on that, now they're trying to think, okay, how can we make our margins wider without actually having to increase prices? Oh, we can get more out of our employees.
Right.
And that's dry promotions.
Yeah. So what is a dry promotion? Well, a dry promotion is really where you are offered a promotion that has a title or a position change and more responsibility with it without a corresponding increase in compensation. So some of the characteristics that this often involves: a title change, you may be increasing your rank in the pecking order at work, and nearly always it is going to come with increased responsibilities. And then on top of that, it does lack any sort of pay compensation, right? And sometimes it actually, you're given a promotion and maybe increased responsibilities, but you're not given any true authority. So you still kind of feel like you're in the same position when it comes to actually having authority at work. And then sometimes you're offered a carrot that maybe in the future we could talk about a pay increase.
This elusive future when things are less uncertain.
Yeah, exactly. And so oftentimes it's the uncertainty of the times is used as a way to kind of justify asking employees to do this.
I want to know, when was the last time that things were certain?
Yeah, exactly.
When was the last time things were so certain that there was no uncertainty?
Right, exactly.
You know, part of the problem is the bullshit about this is that you're not getting paid, even though you're having an increased title and likely more responsibility, but doesn't always come with more responsibility. So sometimes you're just getting the title increase. So you're not actually getting, especially if you don't have you're not offered any additional authority. You might be given more responsibility, but you're not given any additional authority. You're not actually getting any advanced skills training. You're not learning anything from it. So you're not getting the pay, you're not getting the advanced skills. So you're not really getting anything that you can actually use to very often to climb the ladder within your current place of employment or even to take somewhere else.
Maybe. We'll talk about some of the possibilities here in a minute. But what are your options? What can you do if you're offered a dry promotion? Your boss comes to you and says, we want to move you into this position. Well, of course, you basically have three options. The first one, of course, is you can decline it and say, no, thank you. The second is you could say, hey, give me a moment. I need to really think about this. I need to think about how this would affect my life. And then the third is you can accept it. Now, let's talk about why you might want to decline it, why you might want to accept it, and why it truly has the potential to hurt people in our community and oftentimes people in marginalized communities. Why oftentimes it seems like these kinds of dry promotions are being put in front of people in marginalized communities.
Exactly. So, well, the number one clear reason why you might want to consider declining a dry promotion is that you're not getting increased compensation. No pay, no way.
Yeah. As our friend Shannon says, maybe it's time to pull the pocket aces. Now, yeah. Obviously, you don't want to pull the pocket aces on your boss because you probably would get fired. But in a verbal way, it would be kind of like, this is you might want to say, no effing way am I going to take a promotion without getting some sort of compensation.
Right. In an environment where we kind of just got over the great resignation, where people are quiet quitting, they're ghosting potential job opportunities. There's minimal work Mondays. And then there's another thing about not working too hard on Fridays either. And Bernie Sanders is advocating for a 32-hour work week. It just doesn't seem, all of that together just kind of seems like offering me this title with more responsibility and work without paying me commensurately is just bullshit. And that's all that's going to really do. I think even if you do accept it, you have to be cautious that this doesn't lead to potential resentment of your boss or your employer, job dissatisfaction. You don't deal with that, because that's actually going to, not only is it going to ruin your work or your productivity, it's going to kind of infuse your entire life, right? Because that's going to have consequences afterwards. So what that could look like is that you're done with work on Thursday or Friday, and then you decide you're just going to go to the bar and you're going to drink off the pain, or you're going to go out to the clubs and party off the pain, and you shop away the pain. You know, it's going to have a peripheral consequences, collateral damage, if you don't manage it appropriately. So number one reason is you're not getting paid.
Yeah. I think the second reason is you got to look at where you're at mentally with your job in the moment, right? If you are already feeling like you might be on the road to, or already feeling burnout, is this going to help alleviate that? Are increased responsibilities without the compensation going to make you happier? Highly unlikely, right? You're going to maybe start to feel even more overworked, undervalued, overwhelmed. And that just makes you not like your workplace even more, right? Your morale will drop, your productivity will drop off. So you don't want to necessarily accept something if you know that it's going to decrease your morale and your productivity, because then all of a sudden you've been offered a promotion without the compensation, and you put yourself into a situation where your boss may now be looking at you like, you're not doing the work that you said you would do. It's time for you to go, right? You could actually be setting yourself up for option to be fired or let go.
When you first started talking about the burnout, I was thinking, it just occurred to me that there's an entire industry of people who have been forced to go through dry promotion for decades, and it's not really panning out great for them or the country as a whole. And that's teachers.
Yeah.
Let's give you more and more responsibilities, but we're not going to raise your wages. Yeah. So after 20, 30 years of seeing how of teacher burnout, especially after the pandemic, I'm kind of surprised that employers are thinking about this, but they're trying to get creative about how they can increase shareholder value.
Local taxpayers and local politicians are the ones who've been effing over the teachers, right?
Yeah, totally. In the market for a new ride, Capital One Auto Navigator makes car buying easier. Search for a car you love and pre-qualify for financing to see your real rate and monthly payment without impacting your credit score. Get started today. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/AutoNavigator for details. Another consequence of dry promotions, this is maybe is a little bit more for the employer or the boss, is that it's going to create retention issues. If people start seeing that they're getting bullshit promotions and all that increased stress and anxiety that comes with it, I think more and more employees are going to leave. And that retention issue has an effect on people who stick around, because they're going to start to see, oh my God, am I next? Am I the next one to get this horrible gift?
the gift that doesn't keep on giving, right?
Yeah,
it's the white elephant. You get a white elephant promotion, right?
That's if right. Yeah,
change it from a dry promotion to a white elephant promotion.
So that just increases turnover rates. It increases the costs of recruitment, training, productivity. So as an employer, I'm kind of surprised that more employees are doing this, but oh well.
Yeah, for that matter, number four here, it could actually be a demotivator for those around you. Or if you are put into a position where you do have some authority, it may actually be a demotivator to the employees that work underneath you, right? All of a sudden you're having to manage or babysit in some cases. I know some managers feel like they have to babysit employees. That may be because they feel demotivated because they aren't getting the compensation that they feel like they deserve.
Yeah. And that leads to the direct effect on the morale. When people start to realize like, I've been part of teams where we're taking on more and more work and nobody ever talks about increasing our salary. It's a morale issue.
Yeah.
And suddenly a job that you may not have liked a whole lot even before, you like a lot less because you're just being stretched so thin and you're not being appropriately rewarded. It doesn't feel like your employer or the company appreciates the work that you're doing. So the morale is negative. So that's another consequence of all this. And do you want to work in that environment, especially as we're talking more and more about mental health and taking care of ourselves? Do you really want to create that kind of environment? And do you really want to stay in that kind of environment? And I would say, probably not for most people, if they don't have to, of course.
Right. And I think one of the things is to kind of check in on yourself. If you are already in a position where you absolutely love, there are literally millions of people out there who love their jobs. They love what they do. They love the people that they work with. They love their current situation. And if they're approached by their boss and their boss says, we want to give you this promotion, but not give you any compensation, that could be the tipping point for you to go from loving your job to not loving your job. And again, if you don't love your job, there's a lot of things that could happen and show up in the way that you work or how you show up at work that could put you in a position to all of a sudden have job insecurity, because now your boss is looking at you saying, you're not following through, it's time for you to go. Again, you just have to be careful to not allow a dry promotion to be the opening of the door to kick you out, right?
Right.
And I think that one of the other things that we probably should mention here is that actually could inhibit your ability for your career to keep on progressing, right? As an employee, you may find that puts you in a more challenging spot. You're now in a more challenging spot because you're not being compensated fairly. And then when you go to try to apply for or get another job, especially internally, if you haven't gotten a promotion, then you move further down the scale when you're looking for that next job, right? So if I think about pay scales, right? So let's say, for example, you're in the middle of the pay scale and you move to a new position, you may end up being at the bottom of the pay scale for that new position because you didn't get a promotion. And then when you want to go to the next role up, you'll be at such a low point that you may look very attractive to them, but you're not going to get that bump that would take care of both of those, both of those promotions.
Yeah. It's interesting that you bring that up, because I don't think a lot of people fully understand exactly, you know, most companies, they've got these pay scales and these ranges that people can have based on varying factors, you know, their career history and different accomplishments that they've had and how they performed at work to date. And if you keep agreeing to the lowest common denominator, the lowest offers, then you're going to always stay at the lowest rungs of those pay ranges. And that is a challenge that our community does not need, because we're already getting paid less. So we have to be a little bit strategic with how we accept these offers. That we're going to talk a little bit at the end about how these could yield benefits to people long term. But when you think about pay scales, you know, if you have any friends who are in HR and understand pay scales, talking about how this could really long term throttle your net income, that you might be something to think about twice before accepting it. Because, you know, we talked about a previous episode about how it costs $3.7 million to achieve the American dream, but the average worker can only expect to earn $1.7 million over their lifetime, at least with current numbers. This kind of a strategy of corporations really, really holds down incomes and makes it that much harder for every individual, not just minorities and LGBTQ plus people, but every individual to climb up that ladder, makes it exponentially harder if you're a minority.
Yeah, it's just like not being able to negotiate or advocate for yourself when you go out and start working, right? If you start your career with a really low salary, then it's been proven, right? The lower your salary is when you start your career, that will have an effect on how you're able to compound your salary or your wages throughout your career. You start out at a higher wage and you're going to continue to make a higher wage.
Typically, yeah.
Right? If you start out at a lower wage, you're always going to be behind. And I think that that's one of the big things here, that are you going to be able to advocate for yourself to be able to get what you not only deserve, but maybe to make yourself equal to the other people who have that same position. And this is a great opportunity, especially if you're well connected with your LGBT BRG or your employee resource group or business resource group. See if there are other people in that group who have similar roles. It is 100% okay to go to them and say, hey, I'm being offered this position without a promotion. Can you tell me what should someone in this role expect, since you're in that role? What should someone in this role expect as compensation, right? Because if you find out that you're being paid $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 less than what somebody in that role is being paid, then you have some, there's a lot of opportunity there for you potentially if you accept it, but we'll talk about that later.
Exactly. So let's talk about how drive promotions can hurt LGBTQ plus people and other minority groups even more, because it seems like whenever things are shitty, it's always shittier for marginalized people and minorities even more. So the first thing that comes to mind for us anyway is that just perpetuates marginalization. You know, if we're just sort of getting this token gesture that makes it appear as if the corporation is being inclusive and helpful, it just really exacerbates systemic biases. It doesn't actually improve anything. It just perpetuates the marginalization of LGBTQ plus individuals and minorities. So we want to make sure that as we advance our careers, we're legitimately advancing our careers, and we're not just accepting things because we think it's a seat at the table, when really it's barely even an invitation to come into the room.
Yeah. You know, I think as you were describing that, I was thinking about when we interviewed Tom Brickman on the podcast, The Frugal Gay on the podcast. He told a story about how when he worked as a movie theater manager, his boss literally to his face said, "I love to hire the gays because they don't have kids and I can work them harder." And that is an example of how this could perpetuate that marginalization. If we don't stand up for ourselves, we are also not standing up for our community.
Yeah, exactly.
And with that in mind, it does have the potential to increase the lack of representation of our community and other minorities in leadership roles, right? If we are accepting a position without the authority in title only, if we don't get the authority, if we don't get the compensation, if we don't get the right connections because we've accepted this dry promotion, we may be then preventing other folks from coming up behind us because they think that, oh, hey, we can do the same thing to all the gays.
Right. Yeah. Or just easy targets to not pay. The other thing I think is, we talked to bit about this earlier, is we have to really be cognizant of the mental impact that something like this would have on us. You know, the feelings of inauthentic inclusion, I think, becomes very obvious. We're all very attuned to exclusion. And after a while, even though it might appear to be inclusion, I think most people will start to realize, okay, well, this is just a token gesture. And then all that's really going to do is going to kind of exacerbate any feelings that you might have of imposter syndrome, could increase challenges with your mental well-being, especially if you already have some challenges with your mental well-being. And ultimately, it's just going to increase financial anxiety because you're going to have all this additional work. And that's part of the problem that they talked about in this Wall Street Journal article, is that people are taking on additional work loads, working longer, working harder, but they're not getting paid. That just increased financial anxiety and financial frustration, feelings that you're never actually going to actually get ahead, no matter what you do.
Yeah. I'll add, you know, when we watched the video, it was interesting because the example that the gentleman who was being interviewed about this topic gave was that a lot of times these dry promotions are offered to women because women traditionally in the workforce are more likely to say yes than they are to say no and advocate for themselves. And the same—
historically speaking.
Yeah. And the same thing goes for other marginalized communities. We may feel—
obligated.
Obligated, or lack of self-worth, or our feelings about who we are going to put us in a position where we would say yes, and they take advantage of that. And one of the other things that this could do for our community and for ourselves is it really stifles our ability to be our authentic self, right? If you're not advocating for yourself, you're minimizing yourself, you're hiding, you're withdrawing from being the person that you are, and especially the person you are at work. So it is a possibility that this could actually cause you to hide your potential at work, your potential for really shining at work, because of things we've talked about before, right? The mental health issues, the feelings of being taken advantage of, or maybe you're more stressed out now. All those kinds of things could contribute to you not being your authentic self.
You know, when you think about it, it's kind of a microaggression to some degree. Especially if dry promotion is offered to a minority person or LGBTQ plus person, because even if it's not necessarily intended that way, if you're not given an authentic promotion, after a while, you kind of read that and you understand it and you're kind of like, well, did I just get this as a token offer? Am I not being given something authentic and true because I'm not good enough? And then you go down the rabbit hole of, was I ever good enough? I've never been good enough. Puts a lot of stress, I think, on people's mental health. And it's even if it's intended in a positive way, it's sort of an indirect microaggression, I think, that employers put on minority groups.
This kind of reminds me of the conversation we had with Farnoosh Tarabi about the whole idea of individuals in corporations reaching out to their community, asking for somebody to come in and speak, and asking them to, quote unquote, do it for the good of the community because we don't have a budget or we don't want to pay you. Really, that is kind of a dry promotion, right? We want you to come and shine in front of our employees and give our employees your knowledge and help us and help our employees' morale, but we're not going to compensate you for it. Well, that's kind of the same thing that's really happening here. And we know, we even talked about this in that podcast episode. There is no way in hell that any company is going to reach out to Simon Sinek and say, will you come? Simon Sinek, if you don't know, is a world-renowned speaker who gets paid six figures when he shows up in the room. And there is no way in hell that any corporation is going to reach out to him and say, would you come and do it for the good of the community? Because he would give him the pocket aces. He would say, you can take a flying F, right?
Yeah. And with that in mind, all dry promotions really do is it exacerbates income inequality, because the Simon Sineks of the world are getting paid what they should be getting paid, and everybody else is getting paid a token or at best. And so it doesn't actually improve things. So I think this kind of goes back to that episode where we did talk about financial advocacy. This is an opportunity where we need to say, I'll take the promotion, but you need to pay me more. Or as we'll talk about here shortly, we need to have a strategy to make sure that I get paid more very quickly or I'm bouncing.
Yeah.
So why don't we talk about how to decline a dry promotion?
Right. So how do you say no fucking way, right? Well, the first is to be honest, right? Clearly communicate your reasons for declining. So that may mean you want to take a step back after being offered and say to your boss, give me a second, I need to think about this, okay? You've popped this on me and I need to think about whether this is something I want to do. Please don't make any rash decisions. But when you decide that you're going to decline, you want to make sure that you are clearly articulating, as I stumble through my words, you're clearly articulating why you don't want this, right? The more you can be clear and honest about why and really thoughtful explanation as to why, then it's going to be easier for them to say, okay, I understand. No problem. We'll back away from this.
Yeah, I think being pragmatic and honest is definitely key. Something else to maybe consider if you're going to decline the offer is to maybe think about alternatives for how you can maybe contribute to the team in a meaningful way. Clearly, they're offering maybe this to some degree because they do need to increase workloads because of theoretical tight budgets. So maybe come up with some ways that you might be able to help serve the team in such a way that it doesn't exponentially increase your workload and isn't abated or satiated with a pretend improvement in title, but it does provide value to the team to help improve the bottom line or to help improve the achievement of the goals of the organization.
Yeah. At the same time, when you do get this offer, you want to express gratitude, right? Show your appreciation for that, the fact that they actually turn to you rather than someone else and say, thank you, I appreciate this, and then explain why you're declining, right? That expression of gratitude is a great step in saying to letting them know that you actually did thoroughly think this through and you do appreciate that they're coming to you. It also is kind of a kind way of giving them the pocket aces, right? Of yeah. saying thank you, but no thank you.
Yeah,
right?
You kind of have to remember that you're still in the workplace. So you have to, the next point is to maintain some level of professionalism, right? So you want to handle the whole situation tactfully and diplomatically. And there's nothing wrong with saying, declining an offer. We're all working for different reasons. Not everybody's necessarily working to climb up the corporate ladder and to become a power gay couple or a power lesbian couple or what have you. Some people are working because simply it funds another part of their lifestyle in such a way that allows them to live elsewhere in such a way and that provides them more value. Not everybody's focused on their career. So there could be innumerable reasons why you decline the offer. But when you do so, definitely be a professional about it.
Yeah, exactly. And then, of course, whenever you have a conversation when it comes to negotiation or having conversations about promotions, after you've had the negotiation and you've declined, go back to your boss maybe a week, couple weeks later, and just say, hey, I'd like some feedback about the decision that I made. Were there areas of that I could learn from this so that I make myself available for a promotion when the money is available or when the time is right for me or when the circumstances are better at work, right? So ask for that kind of feedback and explain, money, situation, and workload. Ask for the feedback so that you would be prepared. And that kind of lets them know, hey, I am interested in a promotion, but this is just not the right time.
Exactly. And all this being said, there could be a reason that accepting a dry promotion, it makes sense for you and your situation. We don't want to be completely dogmatic about declining all dry promotions, but there could be situations when it makes sense and there could be benefits to it, actually. One is that a title change can actually make you look good externally to other prospective employers or other people in your industry. So just simply having the opportunity to have a fancier title on your LinkedIn profile may be worthwhile down the road. And so depending upon what your goals are, especially if you're planning on leaving the company shortly anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
If your time horizon for leaving the company was, 6 to 12 months or less anyway, maybe accept it and kind of deal with the garbage that comes with it for that short duration because you've got that promotion. Because I think a statistic that we heard recently was that most employers expect that once you've been in a job for about 2 months, that there's a good chance you're already looking for a new job anyway. So if you're going to, especially
2 months, wow.
Yeah, they're already expecting
really
to do
short.
That. That was one of the reasons why, there was a whole debate a couple of months ago about whether or not you should put on your LinkedIn profile open for hiring or something like that. I forget what that filter is. That you can, if you're looking for a job, you can say you're open for hiring or available for opportunities or something like that. And then if you're a hiring manager, you can say update your profile to say that you're hiring. It's okay For some people, putting that you're looking for opportunities kind of can come across as desperate, in part because there are a lot of hiring managers, HR people, and recruiters are under the assumption that most people are looking for a new job within 2 months after starting a new one. It does sound pretty quick to me, but you know, I'm not an HR professional, so I don't know. That being said, if you're going to be in a job, we're not planning on staying at the corporation for that long anyway, maybe take the title and ride the benefits of it shortly thereafter.
Right. It actually could be an opportunity as a stepping stone for something better, whether that's internally or externally. And especially if you've done your homework, if you know what the salary range should be for that position, and then you accept it and you want to move on to something else, then you know where you should be at, and you can use that as your leverage when you're negotiating, if you're moving on to another position and you're trying to move up, right?
So it doesn't just improve your LinkedIn profile, it improves your resume and future opportunities.
Right. You could go back and say, you know, I know that I'm making 80,000, but I know that the range for the job that I'm in right now is 100 to 120. And I had that position, I accepted that position as a dry promotion. And the new range for the new position is 120 to 150, and you say, I know I'm only at 80 right now, but you need to start me at 120 because that's what the range is for that position. So do your homework. It could be that opportunity for you to get a promotion or increase your salary. But the other thing here is that you want to be able to use this as a way to negotiate, right? Use it as a way to negotiate those salary increases. If you do decide to accept this a dry promotion, make sure that you accept it with the condition that you can revisit a salary increase within 3 months. I know that that might sound pretty quick for some bosses, but put it out there, 3 months. They may push you off and say, well, let's say 6 months, but don't let it go a whole year. Make sure that it's less than a year, preferably 3 months. And then if you go in and you start to have those conversations with this new boss, if you have a new boss, if you go in and have those conversations with this new boss and you say, okay, let's talk about salary increases, and they say, sorry, we still can't do it, that is your green light to hop on LinkedIn and start looking for a new job, hop on Indeed and start looking for a new job, right? They're clearly going to be taking advantage of you for at least the next 9 months, because that's probably the next time that they would be revisiting salary. So once you have the offer, then you know where you want your salary to be. You want to then start negotiating with your boss as quickly as you can, especially if you have an offer from outside, right? Let's say you have an offer from outside the company, then go back to your boss, spend 3-4 months after you got the dry promotion, go back to your boss and say, I know that you said that there wasn't any money available for an increase. I do have a job offer at another company and they're willing to match what I should be making right now. Do you want to match that, or do you want me to accept? And put the onus on them, right? You said, I'm not going to pay you more for the work that you're doing. And then you go back to them and say, you said we would renegotiate after 3 months and you can't offer anything. I'm leaving money on the table by not accepting this job. Do you want me to stay here, or do you want me to leave? And leave it up to them, right? If they want you to leave. So
while there may be opportunities for you to benefit from dry promotions, there's more likely that it's a better opportunity for your employer to squeeze more out of you to improve shareholder value. So keep that in mind. So stay tuned for your Career Money Takeaway after these messages. With no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One, N.A., member FDIC.
Thank you again for joining us for another episode. Remember, this week's newsletter includes your Career Money takeaway from this episode, as well as this resources that we mentioned.
Join us this Thursday when we share the top 10 most affordable LGBTQ+ friendly cities and blue states. And next Tuesday, when we talk with Jason Muth of Pride Away Stays about increasing your income by investing in short-term rentals. Thank you and have a great week.
Bye.